Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 320, part 2, the conclusion to Stand. Today is Thanksgiving weekend, Sunday, December 1st, 2013.
Must be some kind of way out of here. Say the joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief. Businessman there, drink my wine. Plowman, dig my earth. None will level on the mine. Nobody of it is worth.
Text. You know, we see that Paul knew these people were in their right place. And then also we see in this text that Paul wanted them to hold on to the right place. People, you're in the right place when you're acting out the Word of God. Therefore, keep acting the Word of God out, putting it to some practical use. Let me encourage you. Stand. They were in the Lord. Well, stand there. Stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. While all other foundations are movable, The Bible says our God is immovable, unmovable. And so we're firmly planted in Him. We're the seeds that are planted, hidden in Christ and God. I want to stand in that. But anyway, Paul knew there were, and they were in the right place. You ever have that feeling you're in the right place? I came down here 9 years ago, plus. I was standing on a little stage that was in here. And everybody was telling me from suburbia and from my Wisconsin ministry, you're not in the right place. Look at this mess. But I had a feeling. Feelings like I never had before, huh? And I knew I was in the right place. Just had a feeling. Oh, I was a little afraid. When 400 people did a mass exodus on me. Huh? But I knew I was there, and I thought, I'm going to stand fast here. God wouldn't just put me down here and leave me, I hope. Are you hearing this message today? Stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. How many know it's important that we should begin well? Do you know that's important to begin well? Okay, I was standing down here and I thought, well, now this is not a very good start. I'm here and I'm at the beginning of this ministry on the north side. Oh, and the first night, remember we had that opening? The whole place was totally jammed. I come down and see the freak. But I turned into a freak. A freaky Greek. And a guy came up and told me, he says, you know, all these people are down here now. He says, be the last time you ever see this place full. Oh, I thank you, I said. That's confirmation. 400 of my dearly beloveds have left already. 401 when you leave. Can't we be mean to each other? But how many know it's important to begin well? I thought, I got to start out right. Oh, I know, I'll claim it. I claim. And I thought, no, that's not me. And it came to me, you have to stand. Now you're here, you have to stand in what you got into. I couldn't stand over the stage, it was only this big. I'll stand right here. You're there. Now, therefore, get to work. And so I started working and tearing all this. They had the windows all barred up, and all these windows were covered with plywood. Spider webs so big an elephant could hang on them, you know? My mother used to have a saying. She said, well begun is half done. And I said, what does that mean? She said, well, you're starting out wrong. You're going to end up wrong. When you start the race right by having Jesus Christ at the beginning, it's half done. All you have to do is step across the line and leave the life back there. And you cross over the line into faithdom. From you-dom to faithdom. Half over if you start right, folks. You listening on the radio. You, hey, you receive Jesus and it's half done. You walk to the point of no return, step over, and God's got you. All that rough territory is behind you. Ain't that great? Why not start out half done? Enter in at the straight gate, it says. Oh, I don't know, that's a straight gate. Well, that's a nice looking gate over there, flowers and stuff all around it. Oh, wait, there's a great one over there. Gold, that's a nice gate. It's kind of pointed in that direction. And it's so wide. The Bible says, enter in at the straight gate. Know what happens when you enter in at the straight gate? Huh? You pass over. You've entered in. You can't get out. You might want to get out. You might stand at the straight gate entrance after you've entered in and say, I want out. I want back. I want my wife back. I want my life back. I want this back. Huh? No, you've crossed over. You've entered in. You got to leave those things behind sometimes. How are you hearing this today? You might not be popular. You've crossed over. You've entered in at the straight gate. We all have to enter in at a straight gate in our ministries. Whew. There's other gates you could go through. Well, this is the Save Your Face gate. No one will ever know. I'll pass through there. It's sort of a roundabout way, but I'll get there. No. There's only one way in. And once you enter in to the one way in, there's no way out. Did you know that? No one shall pluck you out of the Father's hand. Do you think you can jump out of it? Do you think you can slip through his fingers? He is the God of our salvation. Whew. Enter in at the straight gate. Start your journey to heaven from the right starting point. It's like running over here at the stadium. Now, you don't run outside the stadium. What are you doing running around out here? Oh, I like to be cooped up. You don't crawl on top of the roof and run. What's that noise up there? What are you doing up there? I'm running the race. More air up here. You don't run on the north side bus route. No, you run on the narrow track at the stadium. And cinders. I wonder how many right now are running outside the Gospel of Jesus Christ Stadium. Well, the Bible says they build on sand. Their foundation will always crack. The Bible says it's important that we lay down a good foundation, that we start at the right starting point. You know, it's better to have no repentance than to a repentance that needs to be repented of. That's like people doing something real nasty and say, I'm sorry. And then go back and do it again. Make them up again. I'm sorry. You ever have somebody come up and tell you, you know, brother or sister, I'm sorry I said all those things about you. Oh, I didn't even know you said anything. I have to confess every one of them. No, please. You did the same thing to me 3 or 4 times in our venture through this journey through earth. Don't give me another blast. But I have to confess it all because I'm sorry. I says, why don't you repent and quit? Just quit. Did you ever have somebody tell you that? I'm sorry, I hate your guts. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I told you, I'll say this because you wouldn't get offended by it because you're nice looking. I'm sorry that I said you look like a warthog. I mean, I did, Pastor. I called you a... Well, I guess I'll have to say it if I want to get free. Oh, by all means, unload. Oh, yes, get free. At all costs, even my life. I'd say that's running outside the track a little bit, wouldn't you? I think it's better to make no profession at all of Jesus than an untruthful one. Better to have no faith than a false faith. A legal, a self-righteous, now legalist, if you're listening to me, please listen. Better to have none at all than a legal, self-righteous, finger-pointing, faith in self. You know what that shows me? Shows me one thing. I think many have a false faith. And I think we all have flashes of that. And I'm not talking about faith in Jesus Christ only. How about faith in each other once in a while? No, we totally must depend on the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you come to that yet in your life? I have. I don't depend on anything but the grace of God. Are you ever afraid of yourself once in a while? Are you afraid to trust in yourself? I think we all must learn very early in our walk, in the beginning of the race, the difference between grace and merit. The purpose of God and our will. Sometimes God's purpose, it's kind of rough. So we must learn the difference between God's purpose and our own will. The difference between trust in God and confidence in me, self-made man. See, if we start wrong, a false start. The further we go, the wronger we become. Is that a word? It is now. We become not only lost, but hopelessly lost. I can remember being on a trip and I asked for directions. And you'd be in Chicago or, where else would we go? We'd be in different places. And I'd listen to the guy and he'd say, 50 blocks this way, 50 blocks that way, go this way, go that way, go to the top of the hill, take a right, go. And he'd get all done, you know, and I was pretending like I was hearing the whole thing. I didn't hear it. And I stubbornly thought, I'll find my way. And, you know, after a while, it was evident I was going the wrong way. Sun was going down on the wrong part of the planet. In my rearview mirror, I could see it sinking. And I kept going, so I got farther and farther and farther and farther away until I was hopelessly lost. Huh? And then it cost you money because you got to get a motel for the night. Maybe even two nights because it took you that long. Oh, God. And so when you start your new birth, when you graduate from the second to the third grade, know the basics. First learn addition before you tackle multiplication or you'll multiply your wrong. And so the only position we can be right in is in the Lord. If we begin in the Lord in each thing, it's safe to go on. In the Lord. We started this pack off down here and it's getting ready, and it was in the Lord. Soup is almost done. 5,000, we'll finish them up today. 5,000 cartons of soup will go out of here, frozen, our own product. How did you start out? By putting the soup in the pot. How did we start out? Feed the hungry. That's in the Lord. Now you know that's right to do, don't you? No, it's safe to go on because, see, it's in the Lord. I think many are in church doing the work of the church before they even know the Lord Jesus Christ. You ever have that happen? There's people in, they're doing the work, and they're really working. They don't even know Jesus. Now, you that are not saved, you're on the merit system. It won't do you any good. You're just working for nothing. Don't waste your time. Your heart is not in it, neither can it be, says the Lord. But then again, you converted ones, stand fast in the Lord. What do you mean, in the Lord? I mean when you have repented, when you have turned to Jesus, when you have accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, when you have fled from self, when you have come to Calvary, when you have beheld the Savior. And so like doves that make their nest in the cleft of the rock, so shall we make our home in the side of Jesus Christ, the cleft of the rock of our salvation. Are you in Him today? Oh, it's so important for me to minister the gospel. Are you in Him today? Then stay there. You'll find no better shelter. There is no better shelter. No other name, it says, is given on heaven and earth among men whereby we must be saved. Now, you can't tell someone to stand fast in the Lord unless that they know them. Is He your confidence today? Is He your life? It says in His life, His death, His resurrection, we can find comfort. Is He your salvation? Is He all that you desire? Think about that. Oh God, we got so many desires, don't we? It's not wrong always, but don't we have a lot of desires outside of the Lord? Now the Bible says, now that you have received Him, make Him your refuge. Let Him become your daily spiritual bread. It says, I am the bread of life. Have you heard Him say, abide in me? Many have. And then I must say, therefore, they have stayed in. Stand there. Stand in your daily enjoyment of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in following His example, you start to really realize the power of His death and the resurrection as our power, as our life, as our refuge, as our plan, as our purpose. We are one with Christ. Let me close this. Philippians. Who shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Oh, to feel that life that comes from Him flowing from the fountain. Have you felt that? This morning I was coming over here and I felt the bath and the waves sitting right here before I started to minister, the waves of the Holy Ghost. And I said, oh, Lord, give me a message for the people here today. Well, He said, it's no longer you that lives, it's me. And I started to pray. In another language, I started to pray. And the Holy Spirit just started to wash over me and wash over me and wash over me. Oh, I want to stand in that. Don't you want to stand in the Holy Spirit? Oh, God, it's so great. Young people, are you listening? Stand fast. In Christ, like the birds of the air or the fish in the sea, our Lord has become vital to us. The Bible says we dwell in Him and we live in Him. He is our breath. It says He is our food. In Him we live and move and have our being. I'm firmly beginning to believe that There is no life outside of the life of Jesus Christ. There is no other life. Isn't there a song like that? He's my everything underneath the sun. He's my everything rolled up into one. He's my love, my life, my giving, my joy, my peace, my living. He's the one who makes my heart to pound. Oh, yes, huh? You know, there is nothing else. World, are you listening? There is nothing else. There is no other help. Jesus, it says, is everything in everything. Without Him, it says, we can do nothing. Without Him, we are nothing. Have you arrived at that point yet? Have you arrived at that point yet? Are you in green pastures? I hear someone say yes. Well, then stand fast. Are you beside still waters? Well, then stand fast. See, when people are where they ought to be in the Lord, we can delight in them like Paul. We can say, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, dearly beloved. And so, because they were in Christ Jesus, they were Paul's brethren. I looked at all the people down here from different churches down here yesterday, and I thought, these are all brothers in the Lord. A little different doctrine. But I started to really get a feel of what he was saying there. Stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Wow. Now, real quickly here, folks, if you're out there, conversion is only beginning of the race. We must work out what Jesus Christ has put in us. Our salvation unfolds one day at a time. You know, people, if you're in a church right now, and I think a lot of churches suffer from the dropouts, the cool-offs, the dry-mouthed Christian, the walkaways, the I'm going through people. I think, preachers, we need to start to preach to people perseverance. Persevere. Stand fast. I was up and there was some 1,200 people lined up yesterday up here at the giveaway. We had a gigantuous giveaway up there. I don't know how much food you had up there, but it was lined up about, man, it was food. We had to give it away in the cases. What was it, 2 truckloads almost? 2 truckloads. Not counting what was on that gutted bus. I mean, there was melons and pineapples and tomatoes. And what else did we have? Tomatoes? Okay, tomatoes. Huh? What else did we have there? Huh? Spinach? What was it? Papayas? Hey, we're getting fancy here. And we had all of this food up there. And a guy came up to me, and he just had kind of a wrong spirit. He says, brother, do you believe on one-on-one ministries? And I said, yeah. I just knew, you know when somebody's come up with it, with an evil question. Do you believe on one-on-one ministry? I said, yeah. And I was waiting for him to crash me with his bomb. You know, I mean, this is all swell, all these people and everything, but how about the one-on-one? Oh, I never thought of that. And he turns around. Do you have a church? Are you going to a church? Now, the religious spirit was right there. And this girl says, no. Oh, see, here's a person that doesn't even have a church to go to. Well, I said, I'm not going to force anything on her, but you're welcome to come to our church if you want to. Little tracks, little thing. And so now he's going to corral her over here to get this person to... Is it important that we get people to come to our church and just sit there like boobs sitting on a, you know... Is that some kind of an example or a witness? I mean, out there, you don't force anybody to come to church. You just say, hey, my doors are open. It would be a pleasure if you would come in here and sit down here and sup with us. And if you don't want to, you don't have to. If you want to pray right here on the streets, I'll pray right here with you on the streets. I'll meet you where you're at. I don't care. really care if you just come and become a member. I am a member of the church. So what? There's a lot of members of a lot of churches. They don't do one solitary single thing. Nothing. They don't have any therefores in their life. I'm a member. How about putting a therefore after it? You know how many churches there are? They have 1,000 members and there's only about as many as we got here today. Huh? This is a big gathering here today. Huh? I mean, this is a huge gathering here today. I'm totally amazed at the amount of people that are here today. I even thought of putting up cardboard... What was that guy's name I told you? Don Knotts? They had a... Did you ever see that one? They got a Don Knotts at the tool thing? I thought, we'll put a bunch of hymns up here. Kent says, could you stand to look at, 1,100 Don Knottses? Well, so this is the same way when you look at a lot of Christians. They're all the same. They're all Don Knottses or Henry Jones or whatever. Huh? If they have no therefores after them, they might as well be cardboard people put up there. And then we have a laugh record that we'd put on, a laugh tape, and we'd have a clap tape. And we could graduate from there, and then you could put up a cardboard preacher up there, see? You could stand up there, and we could have them or like that Lincoln thing. Four score and... Huh? And you could put me up there and have me one of those Lincoln jobs. You know what I mean? Huh? No, it's got to be therefore. I'm a Christian. I'm a preacher. I'm a missionite. Therefore, missionite. Therefore, get busy. Therefore, do the work wherein you've been called to do, and it'll cost you. Are you ready to give up your life to gain your life? Therefore, do it, preacher. Therefore, stand your ground. Oh, it hasn't been easy to stand your ground sometimes. It isn't easy to stand your ground because there's always the call of the wild out there, isn't there? Like that dog show. You can't make up your mind. Huh? No, I'd rather stay with my master. Then go out to the call of the wild. Oh, it's wild out there, folks. It's wild out there in suburbia. I'll tell you why. There are no... But you think it's wild down here? Well, I get them. I'd love to come to your church. But, my kids are scared. And my husband's is scared. And, you know, he's got this car. It's a 48 Thunderbird, and it's his pride and joy, and he's got his hub. He's afraid somebody will steal his hubcaps. Isn't that silly? And so, therefore, we can't come down. And therefore, we aren't going to send you any money down there. See, all those therefores are the wrong therefores. I think there's a lot of people out there that got the wrong therefores. Therefore, we aren't going to do this, and therefore, we aren't going to do that. And we always find some reason if things aren't channeled through our particular little group. We don't want to give God glory. So we'll say, well, we won't let that happen through this church, or we won't support it, we won't do this and that, because, we want it to happen through our guys. So there's a lot of wrong therefores out there. I'm tired, therefore, I'm going to sleep all day. Huh? I don't want to do this. Therefore, I'm going to go to the show. Therefore, we're going to get all the Christians that go out to Perks and sit out there at Perks Place out there. We don't want to do anything. Therefore, we're going to go out there and eat. Don't we like to go out and eat as Christians? We all gather together and break, not bread, some kind of sweet. Out there, and we all congregate, and we talk about the pastor. It's so sickening to me to go to those places, because you go out there, and if there's a group out there, and they're all sitting there with a bowl haircut, and they're all sitting there, and they're always talking about, well, I don't know about the choir, but I don't know what's wrong with him lately. I don't know. I'm back and forth, and you can hear these people talking about their pastors, huh? I feel like getting up. I think I will next time after this match. I say, you know what? You don't know what you're talking about. Therefore, shut your mouth. Well, I'm at an age where I can take those risks. You know what I mean? have lost a lot of weight. I can run fast. Therefore, and this is a message, all of my joshing aside, you all know Jesus Christ. Therefore, take the word, put it to a practical good use, and put it to work. In your home, in your church, in your job, or wherever you are, be the peacemaker. Blessed is a peacemaker. Therefore, be a peacemaker. Now, Jesus said it. And blessed are the meek. Therefore, be meek. I didn't say slink along the side of a building. I just say, be that way. Why? Therefore, because the Lord says so. So therefore, be that way. Be forgiving of one another. Well, therefore, the Lord said it, so therefore do it. Just like you do your earthly father. God says to go on and feed the poor. Well, therefore, go do it. Oh, you know, right now in Ethiopia, in all parts of the United States, and all over the world where there's hungry people, whose fault is it? Our fault. If this little mission here on the north side, and I boast in the Lord, can become the largest consistent bag giveaway ministry in the United States, can't that be duplicated? Can it? Oh, we'd be so dangerous to the devil. Just give us a little bit of money. Well, we really don't need the money. But think what would happen if you had the money. Therefore, why don't you people listening on the radio and to this tape, therefore send some in. Isn't that terrible when you see something really happening and you don't support it? What is that? Is it pride? Is it envy? Is it jealousy? Or is it stinginess? I don't know. Well, therefore, you live with this message. You listening on the radio or to this tape. Therefore, live with it. Whew. Well, therefore, let's go out and do the work of the Lord, right? Amen? So easy to do, too. And it's so easy because you feel good when you get done. Don't you feel good when you get done? Golly, I had this little guy, and he's just sort of a little quiet. He's so cute. You know what I mean? Well, you gotta just admit it. You got favorites in this old world, haven't you? And I tried out, and I say, when I get this little kid, and he comes in, my heart just starts beating because he's so cute, and I just love this little kid, you know? And then I look at him, and I think, well, now I got to show favoritism. I can't show favoritism over here. But see, we're not God, are we? And we try to be like him and say, well, let's be favored. I'm going to leave you alone now because enough attention for you. But I can't turn this kid down. And he just follows me around like this, you know. So I just drop down, get my just desserts. Look at this little cute little guy right here, see? Huh? And look at these people. God, I am into what I'm doing. Aren't you? Aren't you into what you're doing? Just get into it. Why not get into it? Huh? Just get into what you're doing. Huh? Just get into it. Well, how do you do that? You enter in at the straight gate. Lord, I want to thank you for the people that are here today. Lord, if there be anyone in here that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, Lord, let them make that commitment today in Jesus' name. Amen. Is there anyone in here that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior?
There you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 320. That was part two to Stand. Be sure to join us every Friday for part one and every Sunday for part two of Pastor Paul's podcast. You can also subscribe to the podcast by going to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. And there you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcast, show notes, and scripture links. You can also find the podcast by going to www.pastorpaul.org. Up at the top of the homepage, you'll find a link to the blog and the podcast. Next Friday's message is heart. Have a great week, and God bless you.
Things you want are real.
You have you to complete, and there is no deal.
much too long.
There's a permanent priest in your right and wrong. Stand.
There's a midget standing tall,
and the giant beside him about to fall. And they know what you're saying makes sense at all. Stand.
Don't you know that you are free?
Well, at least in your mind, if you want to be.